dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox, and this is show 270. Can't believe we've got 270 shows in the can here as we continue to cover all SVC all of the time. It's brought to us, of course, by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. All kinds of fun under one roof, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way. Give them a call, 740-773-7529. If you have any questions, you can look up detailed information as well on the web, triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. And they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Going to bring in the sports guys now. First, we say hello to John Bruce. Mr. Bruce, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Had a great weekend and looking forward to our last show of the 2009 year or 19 year.
19, yeah.
Yeah, close.
Yep. You're only 10 years off, but that's okay. We who are old salute you. That's right. You're just getting a taste of what it's like to be a little bit elder. And then we say, speaking of elder, hello to Mr. Shane Combs, the elder of the two sports nerds. Shane, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I've tortured myself through Cowboys football this afternoon, and so this will be a nice break to get into the studio and actually talk about a sport that I kind of like.
Yeah. Well, you're both on Christmas break now, which means that you can kind of shift it into a little bit lower gear. I'm sure you've got practices and everything.
I don't have to pay attention to the weather tonight. I tell you what, if I ever needed a job where I didn't have to be very good at it at all, I could just go study some weather. Last Sunday night, I was a little overconfident and thinking I had a couple days in front of me, and basically got 1 watt delay there on Monday. So
yep.
I at least I'll have to check the phone tonight on the Bainbridge weather.
No, that's true. I forgot we gave Bainbridge weather updates last Sunday night when we were recording. Of course, it didn't post until Monday night, and by that time, everybody knew, of course, what transpired on Monday morning.
Oh, I heard about it, especially on Tuesday morning. Hey, how's the 735 meeting treating you there when you thought you were going? So it was
didn't get the day off.
People have fun with the show, and that's good. So, hey, I did want to mention too on the opening there, Bruce, the on the website right down there by our headlines. Triple Crown, talking to our friends at Triple Crown, which obviously they're the reason you mentioned the 270 shows, which is just incredible. They're obviously the main reason for that. We have a new link on there. That particular link is showcasing their second session, their winter session 2020 soccer leagues. So make sure you click on that and check those things out, and you can get you some information there. So certainly anytime we can help promote what they're doing in their Triple Crown, we want to do that, because they certainly have been more than generous to us over the years in terms of helping us do this for the SVC.
That is exactly correct. Well, what else are we going to cover on this agenda, this podcast?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to go a different route. You know, we've covered a lot of topics out of the inbox, and I certainly have two or three more that are kind of on hold from some texts and emails and some different things. But as we give a shout out to Advanced Services and Crown Hill Golf Club and North Fork Animal Clinic throughout our segments of the show, John, if you're okay with it this week, I've had some people just talk to me about why not take each boys and each girls team. We do this about once a year, it seems like, and people seem to really enjoy it. It gives us a chance to talk identity and things we like, things we want to see them add, maybe things on, you know, their Santa's wish list that can help them out. We might even have some fan questions in there and just talk about each team. But I'll tell you what really jumped out at me, guys, the Josh Jones book. Remember we had Josh on, what was that now, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And And I'm telling you, that book is a must get for basketball junkies. I've spent some time here early on the break over the weekend here just reading that. And I can't put it down at times. It's fascinating. It's an awesome informational piece. The individual numbers are one thing. They're nice. You know, a lot of times with the eye test, you know, I'm old enough, John's old enough, so forth. You know, you might look at that and be like, well, you know, those are some good numbers. I think so-and-so was a lot better player than that. Or, you know, you hope it educates some people and gets people thinking back. But I'll tell you the part that I didn't realize how much I was going to love, John, that's ended up being my favorite part is the school histories. Mm-hmm. Recognizing who joined the league when. And recognizing, you know, we talk all the time about how program development, and we talked about culture, and we talked about community and all these different things. When you look at that school history and you see over the course of 50 years, you know, what a school's record is in the league, I think it's really good to educate fans on, because, you know, we're all so competitive and sometimes we don't know a way other than, you know, we want to win this game, win this game, win this game, win this game. But when you look big picture, when you start looking over a 50-year period, if you're rooting for a school that is only one, you know, is only one maybe 30, 35, no more than 40% of their SVC games, all of a sudden that 6-8 or that 7-7 season, you know, it looks a little different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you have a chance to step back and have perspective. And I'm telling you, Josh just did an incredible job with that book. And when I looked at those things, I looked at number of SVC championships from certain schools, and I looked at an overall winning percentage, it was just fascinating to me to realize that, you know, there's certain schools out there that, you know, might have only had a winning record X amount of times. So all of a sudden, when you have some kids going out and they're performing at a 6-8, 7-7, 8-6 level, we don't look at that maybe as a competitor as being a great year. But when you look at it from a school history perspective, it really is. So I think that book really got me thinking into this show, Bruce, about some of the ways we maybe look at these teams, and I think that sets up for this different show where we're going to highlight every boys team, every girls team.
Well, talk a little bit about what kind of details we're going to talk about. Just give us an example of how we're going to break these down.
Yeah, I think I could do that. You know, when I look at talking about an identity, or, you know, I don't know that coaches would appreciate us coming out here and giving the scouting report, John. So I don't know that we're doing that. I mean, it's one of those things that it's an identity. It's highlighting kids. You know, I joked a little bit, maybe when Santa's coming here in a couple of days, we can highlight a certain thing that maybe each team needs, or thing we'd like about a team, what they need to add. I'll tell you this for me, Bruce, I think I touched on this a couple times during this basketball season. It's really been on my mind early in the year. I think what influences how you talk about these teams is what your expectations were to begin with.
Yeah.
What your perspective is. And I guess I'd ask you, Bruce, I know you're a sports fan, like, you know, you're a Ohio State fan or a Vinton County fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you come into a football season, say, and you think Vinton County and your expectation, or the expectation that you hear from local people, are about a 3-7 team, but then they go 6-4.
Oh, that's a good season. Yeah.
Good season. Okay. Yeah. Now what if they were telling you as a fan that they should go 8-2 and then they go 6-4?
Yeah. That's not a good season. I mean, I think everybody is held up against the expectation, and the expectation comes from, you know, individuals and what you hear and the talk on SEO preps and, you know, the talking, you know, at the water cooler and everything else. And it just kind of builds up to an expectation. And then you measure a team's performance throughout the season based on that. I think you kind of hear it ahead of time. You hear it before the season. You've got this expectation. You might modify it a little bit after you've seen them one time. You know, it sort of moves a little bit as well as the season goes on, I think. But when you look back on it at the end of the season in say late February, when we're going to the tournaments and everything, we look back at how, you know, I expected them to do this, win the conference, do whatever, get the gold ball. And they didn't. So then you kind of hang a grade or a how they did against that. So it's made up of your own thoughts, those things you hear, and so forth. An expectation is built, I believe.
I think that's really fair. And John, I would throw out a second thing that I had here in my notes to you. And I think Bruce just hit on, I think Bruce is spot on. When you look at games early in the year, and you look over the course of history I just talked about, certain basketball programs seem to bring a certain expectation, not just for your own, but who you play. So, like, John, I would ask you, like, when you hear of opponents like McLean, Washington Courthouse, Benton County, compared to when you hear of, say, Jackson hit and miss over the years, or a New Boston, like a smaller school, don't you think that sometimes the perception over a 10, 15, 20 year period here in 2019, 2020 can be a little bit misleading? Do you follow where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I completely agree, because if you look at, you know, New Boston post 1960s, it hasn't been good. Now, if you haven't really been paying attention, you see Southeastern loses their opener by 19, 20, 21. I saw the score four different ways, you might think, oh, it's going to be a rough season. But that's not knowing that New Boston won a district title last year and they returned four of their five starters. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, let's say a Westfall knocks off McLean. You know, that's not to say that's not a good win, because McLean's still formidable. But it's not yesterday's
McLean's, what I'm saying, right. I guess. Yeah. Is that fair?
They lose four of the five starters they had from last year. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know maybe most recent history, you can look at these wins, you know, different ways.
So I think that's really well said, Bruce. I think those are the two points. I hope I answered your original question.
Yeah, I think we can just kinda...
I think those points, as we go through these teams, I think – when we talk about identity, or we like where a team's at, or we don't like where a team's at, I think a lot of that probably is going to be dictated on where we were to begin with.
Sure, sure does. Well, let's just move into it. We'll muddle through this and talk a little basketball, both on the boys' side and the girls' side. We're going to do boys' side first, and we're going to start with the powerhouse from last year, Zane Trace. And What are your guys' thoughts on Zane Trace boys?
Well, I love the Zane Trace team. Yeah, it's a really, really good team. You know, I know we joke on here a lot of times about my guard bias, but I think that's where it starts. I mean, when you have, you know, the Cam Evans, Colby Swain type of ball handling, and I think that's a great place to start. I think there's size and athleticism. I think there's experience. I think a schedule's there, although, like I said, the schedule with some of these teams maybe aren't what they've been year in, year out. Nonetheless, it's still a very good schedule. But then I think what happens is you'll have some teams like Chillicothe, Uniota, Gahanna, Lincoln are the types of teams I think athletically pose some problems that Zane Trace does not face night in, night out. Mm-hmm. The two categories that I think Zane Trace dominate in over three-fourths of their matchups, turnovers and rebounding. Mm-hmm. And when you dominate those two categories, it makes the game a lot easier to play. You know, I mentioned earlier in the year that you needed to get them early, and then they'd come out and just started whooping people, you know, up 20 to nothing to start games and just, you know, whooping people. And, you know, I don't know where Nesser is to 100%. I don't know the timetable, in terms of that injury. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to sit here and say losing's good, but at the same time, I think it might take a half a bullseye off of them for a minute. You know, I don't know. It's a situation where I still really, really like this team, and that's kind of where I stand on them. I'm looking forward to seeing how they evolve here a little bit into the new year. I know, John, you've obviously seen them up close and personal. You've studied them well. You've done some different things. What am I missing there in terms of, you know, I assume even with the loss there, we'll talk about that actual game later, but like the expectations still got to be very high there, doesn't it? I mean,
Oh yeah. That, like, during the first half, like, we're just sitting there. Just like, you know, I said to Nick Rose, our freshman coach, I was like, man, these guys, they're good, you know, at all five starting positions. And we did a really good job of kind of grinding them down. But, you know, to me, great starting five. They're the champs for a reason. Defense to offense, they do a really good job of turning teams over. They can speed you up really well. And then, like you mentioned, Swain and Evans are awesome. Nesser, I feel like he moved pretty well last night. I don't think he's up to 100%.
No, he has moved better than I thought he would earlier in the year. But yeah, I mean, it's incredible how fast he's come back from that injury.
Yeah, it's just he's done a really good job of, you know, and he's I don't think he's pushing it too much. I think he's playing kind of within himself on it while he's working all the way back. I think that they are, you know, just as good as last year. Maybe there's a, you know, what I had said earlier in the year was kind of what I think is kind of came up to hurt him last night, which was the lack of depth. But overall, just I think they have a really good chance to win another district title. And then, you know, with being Division III, you kind of never know with who's coming down to the convo and the regional. But I think they're still a heavy favorite for a district title. And it wouldn't shock me to see them come back and still win the league either.
Do either of you guys think that they need any Santa's help to get through the season?
I'll go first on this. I think the depth is something that they could use, but I think it's there. I think the Robinson kid, really good athlete as a freshman, physically could help their front court, even if it's just a couple minutes here or there. Last night he played, you know, less than a minute in the varsity game. Then Ben Nichols, nice guard in the backcourt. I think he's another one that could kind of spell them here and there. Once those guys get the trust of Coach Kello, I do think the depth will help them. You know, so I don't think it's anything that they don't have. Bryce Johnson does a good job off the bench for him now. He gave him really good minutes last night. You know, they didn't really miss a beat with him in. So I think the depth is there. I do think that's a big thing that they will need to improve on, though, to make that big, deep tournament run.
Okay, Shane, anything from Santa that you would prescribe?
Well, I certainly agree with the depth factor. The only other thing I would throw in is just, you know, not that they haven't played in big games and pressure moments and felt the pressure a bit of you know, expectations. I would just say, you know, maybe restoring that fire in the belly a little bit in terms of how hard it is to repeat. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing. I was, you know, I think back to when we were fortunate enough at Paint Valley to win the back-to-back district titles. The second one was hard in a completely different way. You know, the first one was like we were on a ride that, you know, uncharted territory, and it was kind of fun. We were playing the underdog card. The following year, we were huge favorites with a bullseye right on us. Mm-hmm. And there was a whole different pressure to that. So, you know, I heard an incredible thing with Nick Saban talking the other day, where he was talking about how, you know, when, you know, it's hard to stay on top because it's just human nature to, you know, to sit back and enjoy success and maybe not fight forward. You know, it's like the car salesman that hits his or her quota, you know, for the month. You know what I mean? You don't have that urgency to go do it. And I'm not saying that was Zane Trace. I'm just using the analogy of, I think sometimes it's human nature to, you know, you've accomplished something, you're trying to do it again. So I think this could possibly serve as a situation that just kind of maybe rekindles the fire a little bit in them.
All right. We've now quoted Nick Saban, and
yes,
we've gone to a new low, I believe. No, I'm just kidding. Well, let's talk about the other 800 pound gorilla that's in the room right now, the Uniota boys. You know, I realize this one's kind of close to the heart for Mr. Bruce there, but Shane, why don't you kind of take us through that one, that team?
Well, obviously John's going to know much more about this particular thing. I'll just offer my perspective here in terms of, I'm the first to admit here, I simply did not do my homework on Uniota throughout the summer. I am totally to blame on this. You know, I had heard of McKee going to Edina. I just, you know, I didn't really follow a lot was going on. I knew what they had lost. I knew what they had coming back, you know, but I just didn't quite study enough in terms of what this team had returned. You know, first of all, I want you to consider this. Isaac Little, as along with Cam DeBoer, were all SVC backcourts in themselves. You know what I mean? Obviously, mm-hmm. Evans and Swain get a lot of attention, and rightfully so. But Little and DeBoer are all SVC returners, now juniors. And what I found in varsity sports and in my 20-plus years of coaching multiple varsity sports, the second year is nice in terms of experience. The third year is huge. You know, and so what happens is when you start to get varsity experience and you get into your third year, you start to, one, as you get older, this is the difference in girls and boys too, that sophomore to junior year, at junior to senior year, you start to get in your young man body. You know what I mean? So physically you start to look different, plus the experience. Yeah, I know the same with the Lamberts. As they get into their third year of experiencing this, the body change. I can remember coaching baseball against them back at St. Trace a few years back, and you know, when I look at their body now, I'm sitting on the front row, second row down there at Huntington a couple weeks back, and I'm like, my goodness, they're huge. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things just in terms of strength and so forth. So you throw in, like I said, the healthy to boards, the depth on the front line with Marco, and then the young kid that I love, I forget his name every week, it's terrible, Park.
Evan Park, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, and then obviously the addition of Wheeler. I think what happens is with Wheeler, you know, where Southeastern went through some tough times. I mean, we forget the career that Wheeler's had in basketball. You're talking about a top 15 to 20 player for sure. You could argue that at his position, depending on what position you consider Nesser or someone like that, you could argue that he's one of the top, you know, one or two, three bigs returning in the league. You're talking about a kid that averaged double figures. I think he was top couple in rebounds, about 8 a game. And I think I maybe undersold his impact on this. So I heard Hoopsie the other night talking about, you know, we felt like we had about three guys to run here, and you know, one kid's sick. We still had two. We had four on the front line. I just started laughing. I'm driving down the road just laughing. I'm thinking there's some people who have four post players in practice. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he's talking about putting them in against Zane Trace. So, yeah, this is a 500 team a year ago, with about five guys entering, you know, that deeper part of their career, and then you add in an all-league talent like Wheeler. I think I maybe didn't, and I think that really served the Uniota's advantage. Now, I guess what I'd flip to you, John, and I'd love to hear your take on Uniota, because obviously you're very close to it. I think now Uniota returns to the bullseye right center on the chest. You know, mm-hmm. People are going to, you know, you'll really, really start to view them as that a little bit more. And that's going to be interesting to see how they handle that.
Yeah, I do think it was a little different coming into this year without the bullseye. I think we still had it a little bit last year because, you know, we still had some guys coming back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 So I think that kind of went into some of the guys' offseason work. Although a lot of our guys in the offseason were, you know, working summer baseball, right, or getting ready for football. So, our summer, we didn't have, you know, I don't think we had a day with all of the guys that are playing now. So, but that's when you saw the big improvement for Isaac Little. Wheeler kind of, you know, started to get into the groove of things with what we were trying to do. Park was huge this summer. Mm-hmm. You know, just it was huge for him playing against varsity guys. And then, you know, there's times you can really see it. Now, one player that you didn't mention was Nate Kaiser.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was one of the three I was talking about. Yeah. Cam, I have right here in my notes. I'm so glad you said that. I'm sorry, Nate.
Yeah. Well, Nate's he's a kid who, if you look at his career of what he was throughout, I mean, when he was a freshman, he was the big scorer for the freshman, played really good defense. But then as a sophomore, he was the big scorer on the JV team, but he also still really played a lot of really good defense. Last year, he didn't see much time, but he worked his butt off, you know, in the weight room and all throughout practice last year. And then this summer, he's taken a new role. Now he's a shooter and great defender. Got in some foul trouble last night, but, you know, still played really good defense on the league's best scorer. And then you have Carson DeBoer, who this is the first time he's been healthy. You know, he's had some ankle injuries the last 2 years. And Gunnar Greenwald gave big minutes last night. He was another kid who benefited from playing all summer long. So, you know, it was kind of weird because, you know, throughout the summer, you know, you're working on these things, and we hadn't really had a summer like this recently because a lot of our guys would still go through and go to all the camps, do all the 10 days throughout the summer. And this summer we didn't have it. So I think even to us, we were a bit of an unknown outside of the fact that we knew we had some really good athletes coming back. So I do think that, you know, we may have to recalibrate on the, you know, okay, it is more known now that, you know, we are really good defensively, and we have some different things that we can do. And teams may come back in taking us a little more serious than they will after, you know, the bad year last year.
Any content here that you think that Uniota could take some help from Santa, Shane?
You know, I don't know. I think it's the continued good health. I think that's the biggest improvement too. You know what I mean? I think as they come back, their depth is simply unmatched in the league when it comes to just bigger, faster, stronger in terms of you beyond the starting five. So I would simply think on their Santa's list, it's just, you know, good health. Yeah. Is that fair, John? I mean,
yeah, I believe so. And, you know, after Cameron DeBoard missed the entire preseason, he's still, like, last night was the first time he'd played like major minutes. He'd played a good bit, but last night it was, you could tell he was finally back into game shape, like completely. So yeah, I would say that's a huge thing. It's good health and staying not sick also throughout this time.
Well, Shane, I'm sure this is a fan question here. You've been asked a couple times, maybe in the last 24 hours or so, but how shocked were you to see Uniota beat Zane Trace?
Well, my phone was certainly blowing up last night, and you know, a lot of conversations back and forth, and I learned a long time ago not to watch one video of a play in a 32-minute game or one picture. You'll see this video from this school and this picture from this school, and, you know, people asking about clocks and times and whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I just learned a long time ago that, you know, I'm old, but I'm not so old that I don't remember this rivalry really, really well. You know, and it used to be Coach Hoops wrapped up in three different uniforms playing against Coach Kello, and now it's him in a suit coaching against Coach Kello. But the one mainstay is Uniota Zane Trace. It's going to be, for lack of a better word, nasty. It's going to be physical. It's going to be, you know what I mean? It just always has been. It's just, that's the way it's going to be with these two schools, and they're two, the two big schools in our league, and they're talented, and it's just what it's going to be. I guess when it, as I thought a lot about this particular question, you know, I think probably coming into the season, I mean, certainly, unless you thought, you know, Zane Trace was going to win gold ball, you thought, you know, they could certainly lose a game. And if you thought they were going to lose a game, you would think that, you know, maybe what, Adadina at Uniota, those are some games that would come to mind. So maybe a 7.5, 8. But as I said, you know, Uniota, the more I start to break it down, and the more when I watched, I'm telling you, when I watched Uniota play Huntington from floor level, I left overwhelmed by their size. I could not get over their size. So, you know, and that was the one thing that took my breath away about Zane Trace when I watched them over the last year. It was a game that I got to late out at Adina, and I'm so glad I did, because I ended up sitting right on the front row, and it just helped me appreciate the size. So what happens is there's only a few teams on their schedule that can go to there. So it certainly would still be a 5.5, 6. I still would have had Zane Trace as the favorite. So what Uniota accomplished was incredible. But I think it was a little premature of me if in the preseason, if I would have had a 7.5, 8, 8.5, I think that's a little bit misleading of just how good this Uniota team could be. I still think Zane Trace is as good as we think they are. I think this Uniota team has a chance to be a lot better than people might have expected coming out of the preview.
All right. Well, let's move along to Adina boys then. I guess first I should ask, is there anything else ZT or Uniota guys that you want to say?
I know my notes are clear, John. Anything yeah. that we're missing there?
No, I'm good. I'll just mention, like you said, that I still think Zane Trace is just as good as what we thought they were.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, it's a game. That's why we play it. You know. All right. So that's all I got.
Okay. Let's do move along then to Adina Boys now, if we could. And I'll just kind of throw it out there. Gentlemen, talk about the Adina Boys team and what you think, what you like about it, what you think their problems might be, and so forth.
John, I would love for you to start here because yeah. I some of what I wanted to ask was going to be some follow-up to depending on what you thought.
Yeah, I think identity, you know, super junior class, great shooting, play with a lot of like a tough pace to play. They like to make teams uncomfortable in the full court. You know, it's with that junior class of, you know, Bennett Sykes, you know, Throckmorton, Garrison being healthy. Then you add a McKee. And then, you know, the McDonald kid has really came on. Brandon Smith has made a big improvement for them. You know, and that's to throw in Shipley, who's one of the league's best shooters. So, you know, they are much deeper than last year. You know, I think they have a lot of strengths, and they are, very interesting team with a lot of length also.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think what happens is with everything John just said, I guess the one thing I would ask John is when you're trying to become deeper, we just talked about it with Zane Trace a second ago. When you're trying to become deeper, a lot of times it's a lot easier to be 6, 7, 8, 9 deep when you're playing at home against the bottom half of the league and you're up 8, 9, 10 points all night. It's another thing to be 7, 8, 9 deep when you're on the road playing a top half team, and it's one of those every possession matters. And I think that's the biggest thing. I'll applaud Adina for what they've done with their schedule with Chillicothe Alexander. It puts them in some adversity. It's so funny how scheduling works because people be like, oh, well, you know, are you concerned about Adina a little bit? Well, no, not really. Chillicothe's pretty good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, like Moeller was pretty good the other night. Chillicothe kind of went toe-to-toe with them. You know, it's one of those where – you know, and I know Alexander, this particular group at Alexander, again, it's third, fourth year varsity guys that expectations are sky high down there. So those are both weeknight road trips. And, yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, if Adina were sitting here at 7-0 feeling good because they played two cupcakes, would that make people feel better? I think that's why mm-hmm. scheduling's so funny. You know what I mean? Because I see it all the time where, you know, I actually heard a junior high girl in class the other day say that a certain team's not very good because she said their record. And I just kind of chuckled over to the side a little bit. You know, I mean, obviously I wasn't going to get in the middle of the junior right. high circle and have the conversation, but like, it's so funny that their perception was this is their record or this is their record. And you know, that's just very, very telling. So I don't know. It's kind of like to me with the attention, the game from Uniota Zane Trace is getting, it's almost to me, John, like they're all of a sudden become the quiet team hiding in the bushes.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's one of those, I know Uniota will play two really, really good non-league opponents. And then Uniota Dina play right out of the break. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know if this is kind of, it's funny how the scheduling is almost kind of in some people's eyes lowered that expectation we talked about, Bruce, in terms yeah. of, well, they've lost twice. You know what I mean? They must not be as good.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but obviously we know that's not true, but I'm telling you, that's the perception that people get sometimes when you look. But yeah, this is a very, very talented team and certainly going to play a factor in this league race.
See, I think, Shane, that's the difference between you two, the sports nerds, and the rest of the public in general. They don't look at the schedule. They've got that expectation, you know, that they won, you know, 17 games last year. They should win 17 games this year, but their schedule may be entirely different. You know, they may have seen it coming, and the AD and the coach got together and said, let's stretch our guys a little bit. Let's let them play the Alexander that you just talked about or something like that. I would submit that junior high person that said that was probably not even aware that they had, you know, some really meaty games on their schedule that they may have, you know, may not do so well in. But it might stretch them, and come tournament time when they do face real adversity, that's, you know, that's where they have learned how to play a little bit better. So anything else on Adina boys, anything that you'd call for them to get from Santa or anything like that?
I don't think so, John. I kind of like the direction they're going. They just they need a little bit more of it. You know what I mean? I think that I guess the next step for me is, can a couple of these guys who, you know, are six for six from the 3-point line against Huntington, are they able to do that on a Friday night in a packed gym against Uniota or Zane Trace? I guess that's the question, right, in terms of depth.
Yeah, and you know, how's that depth going to be in that first weekend back when it's Uniota and Zane Trace in that back-to-back nights? So, you know, I do think it's going to be a big test for them coming out, but they have the talent to take care of things there during that weekend. So they're a very interesting ball club and, very talented group.
Mm-hmm. All right, gentlemen, up next, we remain on the boys' side as we look at teams trying to chase down these top three. And this segment's going to be brought to us by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. AdvancedServicesHVAC.com. That's where you go to find out all the details. You can also schedule a consultation on their website. That's Advanced Services, 877-947-4499, celebrating over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio. Well, we continue taking a look at each of our teams within the SVC, and we're on the boys' side, and we're into our fourth team now, that being the Piketon boys. I don't know who wants to tackle this one first.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I think their identity is shooting, really solid defense, a couple of emerging stars in Levi Golian and Chris Chandler. You know, that's they have one senior. This is a team that's just going to keep getting better with the varsity experience, and they're going to be a lot to deal with this year and the rest of this year and definitely next year.
Yeah, I have down program, culture, love of playing. They're not the most skilled team, but they are skilled. You know, they're not the biggest team, but they're not small. They're not the best shooters, but as John said, they certainly can shoot. But the one constant is they just love to play, their defense, and it's been a program of numbers and a program of kids that just seem to, you know, Chandler, Gallion, Harris, Fuller, Swain, all the way down the line, you know, just guys that seem to like each other. They seem to play hard and good young coach there. So, you know, I kind of like where they're at. I don't think over the course of 14 games they're quite where the top three are, but I think it's a realistic expectation, Bruce, that they could fight for that four spot and certainly find themselves right there.
All right. Anything they should be looking for under the Christmas tree this year?
Just maybe a little bit more consistency on the offensive end. You know, where does the offense come from, John, if they don't make the 3-point shot? And I think a lot of teams that, you know, we talked about the lack of post play, you know what I mean? Like, what, 2-3 weeks ago.
Yep.
I think that's probably, you know, where do your twos come from, so to speak? You know what I mean? If the 3-point shot's not there that night, you know, where does the offense come from?
Yeah, and I would add in a little bit of ball handling help. Now they will get that soon when Leedy comes back. He has an injury.
Right.
Yeah, once he comes back, that's going to help their ball handling a lot. And I think that will help them get some more twos out of that too as well.
All right. Anything else on Piketon? Just want to make sure.
I think that's accurate.
Okay. Move along to Paint Valley Boys. Which of you want to tackle this one first?
I'll take it again.
Okay.
You know, I think outstanding scores. You got Grubb and Newland. Cruz McFadden being healthy is huge for them. You know, they have some good length. Cole Miller is going to be he's going to be a star. He's a really well put together kid. Doesn't look like a freshman out there. He can really play. Dax Estep is, I mean, he's playing more JV now, but man, he's an impressive looking kid. A really good freshman class. Their freshmen and sophomores are going to be really good here in the next couple of years, and put that together with you know, Newland and McFadden. That's a they're a team that nobody wants to see in D4.
Shane, anything?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you go back to the expectation. You just got to relax. Obviously, the loss of Southeastern was a bad loss. It hurt. But you know, other than that, you know, when you start looking at schedule, Uniota, Zane Trace, Peebles, Leesburg, people just need to relax and understand that Newland and McFadden aren't healthy. You know what I mean? Like you're talking about two injuries where, you know, I can't remember if I shared this on the air or not, but like McFadden wasn't even released to shoot a three-pointer until like a couple days before practice. So you're talking about a kid that hasn't even been shooting the three-point shot or a lot of pull-up jump shots for more than a month since last, you know, Christmas. So, you know, he's certainly got a ways to go. You know, Bryce is working hard to come back. I would say he's probably 80-85%. I'll tell you what was really cool for me, John, I hope Bryce doesn't mind me sharing this, but I was able to see on our early release the other day on Thursday, when there was a little gap between the boys and girls practice, Bryce go into the gym, and I bet you he spent 45 to 50 minutes in there with a teammate. And I bet you he probably took 150 to 200 shots during that time. So when you look at him trying to fight back on the weekend here and do some of those things, you know, Saturday night is basically like Huntington ran into just a complete you know, avalanche in terms of the buildup of Paint Valley fighting through some preseason adversity and the football fatigue. And McFadden's first shot went down and Newland started falling. And then, you know, Newland's one of those heat check guys. You know what I mean? Yep. Like if he makes one, he'd step back and try it again. You know what I mean? Oh, that was fun. Let me shoot another. You know what I mean? Like it was, so, you know, you mentioned a lot of those kids. There's a trio of juniors there with Bronner, Jeffers, Blanton. They, you know, and even some young kids on down the line, you mentioned a couple of them. I'll even throw in Cooper Mettler, some of right. those guys that are mm-hmm. really going to, you know, Jackson Williams gives good athleticism there and does some nice things. So it's a team that has about 10 or 11 athletes. Their practices are very, very competitive. They're getting better. Obviously they need Newland and McFadden. And we know how good Grubb is, but you know, they really need the leadership of Newland and McFadden who have been through this to get healthy. And like you said, if this team comes together and hits a stride right around late January, they become a really, really scary team. Really scary team.
Well, Shane, you know the PV situation well. What's just a reasonable outlook for them, given all those things you've talked about then?
Oh, I don't think there's any question in Division IV that the combo's certainly in the picture. And, John, we know once you get down there, anything can happen, mm-hmm. Regardless the seat. See, that's the other thing, too, when injuries play. They become a very scary team. Like if you know, when you – even if Paint Valley's record, say, slips a little bit, and you're one of those one or two seeds, three seeds, you're telling me you want to play Paint Valley in the sectional final? So I think they become – You know, when we're sitting here talking about a Uniota or whatever, you know, keep in mind, you know, Paint Valley was winning that game Friday night by two at halftime. Is that correct?
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, they're talking about a team that right now is it's there for about 20, 25 minutes. I think Coach Williams just trying to get that 32 minutes out of them. A lot of that comes from getting healthy, getting in shape. A lot of it just comes from the continued development of depth and starting to figure out a little bit of, like John said, who's on JV, who's on varsity, what's their role in finding that identity a little bit.
Okay. Anything else on PV then? Hearing none, we'll just – go ahead.
Just health. I mean, I know we keep saying it. Newland and McFadden healthy, and this team will take off. I really believe that.
All right. Let's move along to Southeastern boys. John, you've been going first. Do you want to go again?
Yeah, I'll take it. Okay. It's a big youth movement. Bunch of sophomores on that team. They got a couple of nice – they got a nice senior in Aaron Gillum. You know, with Cameron Hall, Aiden Estep. You know, they have a couple dynamic sophomores. You know, it's going to be got to have some patience. They're going to go through some rough stretches, but just looking back over their scores, I believe they've had five different leading scorers so far this year for them. You know, with Corcoran, a really good shooter, you know, different guys that can step up each night. You know, they're going to take some bumps. You know, it's going to be another year or so until they're really back. But I like what they're doing. I think they have the right man in place, Coach Adams. You know, it could be an interesting year next year for them. But it's a lot of youth right now for the Southeastern.
Shane, your thoughts?
Well, I don't want to be too repetitive, so I'll just add in one thing. I had the ability to see these guys on a Saturday night, and then I had a chance to see them on a Friday night. And, you know, John, we know with young teams, it's the consistency. It's one of those things where two straight Friday nights, they haven't quite played the way they would like to. Two straight Saturday nights, they've really brought it. You know, mm-hmm. One in a home win, one in a road barn burner. So, I guess that's where it's going to come. They're going to continue to test themselves. Alexander, Benton County, Grandview Heights, all these different schools. But like you said, I think when I look, it's a team that, you know, they went through some adversity Friday night. They were already without Wheeler, and then Evans goes down early, and then, you know, Saturday it looks like they regrouped. I was glad to see numbers come in from Evans, because on Friday night I wasn't sure if he was going to miss extended time. So just consistency. I think with young teams, you know, the back-to-back wears on the young player a bunch, whereas the older kid, the stronger kid, the more experienced kid mentally and physically knows how to handle it a little bit better.
Under their Christmas tree, would they just look for experience?
Yeah, they would like to be a few years older.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know if those gifts exist.
I don't even think Santa can bring that. I don't really. For most of us, we wouldn't want that. But maybe for some.
Well, and earlier I tried to say it was 2009. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe.
You're just getting there. That's
all. Would hurt them even more.
Okay, let's go to Westfall. Let's have John just jump in here. You've been doing well, John. I like that. What about Westfall?
I think you know that relentless effort and passion is coming when you're playing the Mustangs. Those guys play hard. They're going to get after you defensively. They got some really nice pieces. Wyman is just an elite shooter. You know, Hayden Leemaster, just he's a kid whose motor is just out of this world. Lucas Blackburn, one of the better post or the better big men in the league, can go inside outside on you. They got a nice sophomore class. You know, it's, you know, not a ton of depth, but you know, with an athlete like a Spawn, who's going to be one of the elite defenders in the league, just for how athletic he is and just strong. So I mean, it's you know, probably another team that, you know, they're very up and down, but at the same time, if you look at their record, it's probably what you would think it would be at this time if you look at their schedule so far.
Before we go to Shane and get his thoughts, John, we had a fan who wrote in and said they called Westfall the toughest team to figure out. Is that a fair or unfair statement, you think?
You know, I would say it's unfair because really, if you look at their schedule, they might be 3-5. But if I had to pick out their schedule before the year, I'd probably say they're 3-5 with so far. Maybe it would have switched maybe the Amanda and McLean results. But overall, that's about what I thought they'd be. Okay. You know, they have, you know, with like the players I mentioned, Wyman, Leemaster, Blackburn, really nice pieces. But they didn't really have a lot else coming back as far as varsity experience is concerned. I think you expect more – you can definitely expect some more positive results as the season continues and the younger players, you know, really grow as varsity players. I do think that they will, you know, be really tough to beat, especially at the Dome. And with that relentless effort, really good young staff, that's going to keep them positive moving forward with a lot of energy. So I think it's fair to expect that some things will change throughout the year for them record-wise. But right now, I would say that they're about what you could reasonably expect.
Okay. All right, Shane, your thoughts on Westfall boys? Anything that John didn't mention there that you think worthy of mentioning?
Well, I would add one thing, and then I would put one new thing. One, on what he's saying, I think it goes back to what I said in the opening about McLean and Courthouse. I think what happens, John, in years past, if you think, oh, they beat McLean and Courthouse, you'd expect them to beat, like, you know, 5-6 different SVC schools, right? Where this year, you know, McLean Courthouse, still very solid programs, but maybe not quite as good as they've been. I would also throw to that, in terms of Santa's help, maybe the ability to play in some different style of games. I think what happens with this team is sometimes when they're really athletic and they go a little bit, you know, if you can't play different ways and you play right into the hand of a Uniota, Zane Trace, Adina, it's going to be a long night. You know, where a lot of times you can go and you can play and you can out-athlete some of these other teams on your schedule. So I think it's probably the ability, the really elite teams. When you start talking about teams that win 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 games a year, you're talking about teams that can win 80-79, and you're also talking about teams that can win 40-39. And I think that's very important to learn how to play in those different style of games, the different types of officiated games. And I think that's where some of the confusion comes from for the Westfall boys, in my opinion.
Okay. Anything else on Westfall? If not, we're going to move on to the Huntington boys. Mm-hmm. And, John, we'll go to you again.
All right. I would say their pace, effort, their heart, that's stuff you identify with when you think Huntington basketball. Seth Beeler, outstanding. They have a really good sophomore class. You know, they're, with Smith and Hertenstein and – how about they're Huntington's a tough place to play. Just there's so much pride in the township, and you know, it's really second to none across the league, and it is not a fun matchup when you're facing the Huntsman.
All right, Shane, your thoughts on Huntington?
Well, I thought that was well said. I think, you know, with you mentioned some, I would throw in McCloskey there too.
And yeah,
McCloskey. Kids, even Free Haynes, both some post kids there. And the one thing I would say about Beeler, I watched the other night. You know, it was a tough weekend for Huntington, obviously, because they ran into two tough matchups. And like I said, you could not have played Paint Valley on a worse night than on Saturday night. You knew that game was coming for Paint Valley. And it quite frankly, it might not have mattered who was there that night if they were going to play with that passion and that energy and shoot it that well. The one thing I want to say real quick is Seth Beeler competed really, really hard the other night. And I think, John, that there's something to be said for that, the incredible leadership. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what the score is, this kid just kept coming and coming and coming. And I'm telling you, there's times he had the Paint Valley coaching staff about ready to just pull their hair out in terms of, you know, and he just – I think that's so important when you have young teammates – to lead by example in that way. I want to make sure I threw that into the show. I thought Seth competed really hard the other night.
Yeah, that he's one of those kids that he's gonna make you work every second that you're out on the floor, because he wants it so bad, and he's gonna just be all effort, and he's the type of kid you don't love to coach against, but at the same time you really enjoy coaching against, because he's doesn't matter the score, he's competing.
Right.
All right, gentlemen, that concludes our look at the boys' side. Now we're going to move over to the girls, and we start with a team that appears to simply be on another level.
Santa's coming, girl. Woo!
I had to get in a little Justin Bieber. I couldn't live without him.
Hey, I love the Biebs.
The Biebs, babe. Hey, this segment is going to be brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport, 740-986-4000. 4653. Look them up on the web, crownhillgolfclub.com, and give a call and talk to Kevin and the boys, then see what they can get out there. I know we're talking gift certificates. If you're like me and haven't started your shopping yet, you might want to start that tomorrow, given that this will be published on Monday the 23rd, and then there's only, 2 days till Christmas, or 1 day to Christmas by the time this comes out. So they will take care of you at Crown Hill Golf Club for the golfer on your Christmas list. Well, gentlemen, as we talked about in the tease before the bump there, we're going to start with Unioto, and they are appearing to be simply on another level. So we had John going. Let's go to Shane on this one first, if we can. How's that?
Well, I do. I appreciate you coming to me here. I also wanted to throw in with Crown Hill there. Congratulations to Kevin. He's going to receive a pretty nice award. One of golf's best coaches awards, selected for the top 50 kids coaches award. Just real proud of what he's done for our area, and very well deserved. So I wanted to give that shout out here as well. But yeah, I mean, gosh, I don't know where to really start and end with Unioto girls. They're really good. Emily Coleman's a really special player. Amber Cottrell's a different level defender. Hallie Pinkerton, special athlete, can do a lot of different things. You'll hear me use the word complimentary, and the reason I do that is she just on offense and defense kind of complements Emily and Amber so well. And then Stolle and Miller down low with another Miller coming off there with Avery in the post, and then obviously Alexis can really shoot it, and then just athletes galore down the bench there. They're just really good. They're just different level. They're old, they're experienced, and obviously Southeastern has a little bit of size and experience. We'll see how that matchup goes, but from the eye test, they're just crazy good. So be interesting to see some of their non-league matchups over the holiday. I know they got the big showdown with Vinton County coming up and some different things. But, yeah, Jeff's got a real nice squad there for sure.
Okay. John, your thoughts on Unioto to girls?
Yeah, I think with a really experienced senior front court or back court, they got a bunch of kids that have played for – 3-4 years of varsity, just and it shows, and not only played for 3 or 4 years of varsity, but they've had a lot of success for 3 or 4 years, starting as their freshman year, finished second, and they've gotten first the last couple of years after tying with Southeastern a couple of years ago. It's you mentioned Coleman and Cottrell, they're just really dynamic backcourt. Cottrell can hurt you in so many different ways. Just one of the elite on ball defenders. Pinkerton does a great job on ball also. And then you bring in a Renner off the bench who just flies around, just causes havoc. Paris DeBoard who just wins 4 events in the
just comes just off. Side athlete there in case you need one.
Just throw in there and wins 4 events as a freshman at the SEC track meet, and put up double figures for the first time in her career last week. And then Miller shooting about 50% from three off the bench. That's not bad. And Coach Jeff Miller just does an awesome job with them. Gets them in great spots. They're quick hitters, and you can see they just work on stuff during games. And that's a nice thing to have. Now, to me, I would say for their Santa's help, but just be front court health. It's with Wheeler. I know she's been cleared to practice, but when is she going to be able to play? Will Callahan be back after, with her pretty bad hamstring injury from the soccer season? That those two would help their front court depth a lot. It hasn't really affected anything for them, but, you never know. And we'll see a big test with Vinton County by the time this show comes out, because those are two outstanding Division II teams.
Yep. See, Bruce, that's why John's on the show to pick me up with some basketball info. Because on my notes, Santa help was their make sure their busing maintenance allowed their bus to make all their road games safely. So John's taking SVC Sports Talk to another level.
Yeah, I don't think they need to ask anything from Santa, and we'll see how. Like I said earlier, I think we're recording this on Sunday night. On Monday night, they meet our Vinton County girls, and I wish I could attend that game because that's going to be a great one. Whichever team wins, that will probably be one of the best girls' games you could ever see. I think they're both teams are good, and Matt Combs taught Jeff Miller everything he ever knew. So that'll be a good game.
Yeah, just think about like how good of a coaching staff that was down at Vinton County when Jeff was there with Matt.
Jeff was the brains behind the outfit. There's no question.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. But that's just an awesome.
Sorry, Matt, if you're listening.
Think about the better question is think about their younger years, what kind of like post game meals were taken in.
I've heard a lot about the meals. Yeah. Yeah.
We got to move. They're both way too healthy at this point.
Yeah. Let's talk next about Southeastern girls. Shane, you want to start?
Yeah, Southeastern girls, in all seriousness, very, very good, very, very capable. You know, they're the type of team that could maybe stick their nose in with Uniota for a couple reasons. Number one, they don't turn it over very, very often. They have big, strong athletes with Heiss and Graves. They have the ability to score it from the perimeter, and even a Huff gives you a double figure type of score. They have some size. They've been hurting their depth a little bit with some injuries in the offseason and in the preseason, but they're slowly getting healthy with Skeens returning. That obviously, gives you a little bit of size to either start or come off the bench, because really Bells, who we got introduced to in volleyball, John, really starting to give some nice minutes as well. Mm-hmm. So, this is a nice team. You lose an athlete like Wheeler after starting her every game her freshman year. So, that hurts. You know what I mean? It's one of those where they've had some kids step in and go. But, you have two kids in Graves and Heiss that are probably two of the top I don't know. We can debate that later in the year. Certainly top, six or seven in the league. Nice players. Nice team. They're very capable. They'll rebound it well, and they won't turn it over very much. So, as I said earlier, those two stats give you a chance to be very competitive. This is a tough team to play against for sure.
John, first your comments, and then I've got a question for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, they play really good defense. Do a really good job in their zone. The multiple big scorers, Huff's had a couple of big games to go with. Yes. Graves and Heiss. They do a good job handling the ball. I was really happy, and obviously with the point guard bias of SBC Sports Zone, you're going to make sure to mention the Sierra Mittens 5 assists, 0 turnover game.
How about that?
That's really impressive.
We have trouble going like a 2-minute dry run drill without turning it over.
Exactly. Yeah. So really, really outstanding to see that. For me, I would say kind of the Santa's help is, keeping a clean bill of health for them. That's something that could really help them make a nice run. And help them push Uniota.
John, we had a fan write in, and they weren't convinced that Southeastern can play with Uniota. Shane kind of touched on it, but anything you see that makes this possible?
I mentioned Uniota's front court health. Mm-hmm. Southeastern is they're elite at getting to the free throw line. They get fouled a ton, and when they do, they make it. Mm-hmm. Like they're an elite free throw shooting team. If you go through their results, you see, it's Graves or Heiss. They're 8 of 9 from the line, right. 10 of 11. They shoot them great. If they're getting to the line, that means they can push Uniota and get them into foul trouble. Mentioning Mitten having that really good ball handling game, it appears that they have you know, the ball handlers to, you know, handle a lot of Unita's pressure. So I think that, you know, the backcourt experience will help. It's definitely a it'll be a tall task, but they play good defense. They have a proven just winner all around in Skylar Heiss. Graves can go off anytime. You know, it's I really like the makeup of that team and could definitely see them pushing Unita when the time comes.
All right. There we have it. That one fan is probably convinced now.
Guys, and I am going to – when these girls listen to it from Unita, I will get a lot of stuff for that. But, hey, it can happen.
Oh, it can happen. That's why they play the game, someone said earlier.
Exactly.
Okay, what about the Adina girls, Shane?
Adina girls really, really have been built from the ground up. This is a team that through a lot of bad beatdowns over the years has stayed true to playing half court man to man defense, and they guard the right way. They have a senior guard that allows some experience to settle the sophomore class a little bit. Stark and Smith are very similar in their style, so I'm sure Stark has served as a nice mentor to Smith, and Smith's very, very talented. Smith has really high basketball IQ. And when you throw in a lot of the sophomores, there's a mixture of athletes, John. There's nice guards, there's nice posts, but even their posts are very athletic in how they guard. So at no time do they ever get in a matchup to where they have to change who they are. So we talk so much about identity. You know, all the way down to 7-8, even when you go Ader, you go Fogelsong, they can hedge a ball screen. They can jump out on a switch if they have to. You know, same way with Stark or Smith. If they get caught down in the post, they can defend the post. They can box and rebound and push and transition. So, you know, obviously the Lovely girl's very athletic. I mentioned how much I love the other senior French in terms of the leadership that she gives. Curry, I mentioned her on last week's show. She can put a nice stroke on it and extend the defense. So this is a team that's been built real nice. So from what I understand, the sixth grade, the eighth grade, and I know how much of the sophomore class, this is a program that's back to stay for a while here. And I think Hannah Stark and Abby French deserve a lot of credit for them staying the course there. And as Coach Day comes in, just a real, real nice team. They had the luxury of hiding in the bushes a little bit themselves, John. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to wear the bullseye just a little bit more. But just a program I really like how they're built, and their identity seems to really come out when I watch them.
What about you, John?
I think defense and depth of athletes when I think about them. You just mentioned them, and they come at you they can come at you in waves defensively. Now they do struggle with scoring, at times, but that'll come with the more experience they get as varsity players. I'm glad you shouted out the two seniors who have stayed the course, you know, gone through some lean years, but, it seems to be paying off for them, and hopefully it'll keep paying off here in the future for them.
Okay. Anything else on Adina girls? If not,
that's good.
Okay. We move along to Huntington girls. Shane?
Well, with Huntington, I first wanted to talk about, you know, some kids that when I talked about getting into some varsity experience and so forth, you know, when you look at a kid like Emily Halbaugh, it's about 3.5 years into this. And, you know, you look at a kid, Katie Hirsch is a nice player. Megan Steele, we know what type of athlete she is, and Grace Davis is back in the program, gives some senior leadership, and then Carly Dyer's a really nice player, and those serve as the foundation pieces that are making them better in terms of defensively and rebounding and giving the special talent of Allison Basie some support, and then obviously it comes down to that. I mean, Allison is a special, special talent. She can do things on the basketball court that are simply not normal in our girls' league. You know, I've been asked several times this year to, you know, how would you compare to Ella Skeens and so forth? And I understand the question from basketball fans. I try not to go there, John. I think, you know, they're both very, very special players at that mm-hmm. age. I think Southeastern's program had a lot more depth to it and so forth. But I think this is more just about appreciating a special talent in front of us. This is a kid that the one thing I think is the scariest thing is I don't even know if she knows how good she is yet. I mean, this is a kid that just kind of accidentally goes out and gets 30 points, 15 rebounds. This is a kid that can shoot the three. This is a kid that can drive. This is a kid that can score. She gets to the free throw line. She's going to shoot a high percentage. She's an outstanding rebounder. Mm-hmm. She's a kid that, you know, you see a lot of great players that kind of put it in cruise control and, you know, maybe only get 6, 7, 8 rebounds or whatever. You're talking about this girl goes out and gets like 15, 20 rebounds some nights. I mean, you know, so I think sky's the limit for Allison. I do. I think she's that good. She's a special talent, and those other teammates I named I think is very important because when they play efficiently and they play and they offer some offense, this becomes an elite team. So obviously, getting that second and third score would be my Santa's list. I know John, you had a chance to see him here earlier in the year. Just, you know, what's your take just on their identity as a whole?
Yeah, I do think that they are scoring depth is a big thing for them. You know, like what you mentioned with the Santa's help, that would be what I would agree with on that. And I think they have pieces that can do it. But man, you mentioned Basie, and she's so much fun to watch. Just compete. You know, just I really think that if you get a chance, you got to watch her play. I was glad that the girls got to play in front of that big crowd on that Friday night. You know, for a lot of people that, you know, maybe would look past the girls' games for whatever reason.
We had that again this weekend, John, because we were the one site that did the boys' girls double.
Yeah. And, you know, folks really need to get out and watch these girls teams play because the athleticism and the skill is so much better than I think people think it is for whatever reason. And Basie is, you know, just really special player. I was able to, you know, I had a rough game right before their game. I was able to coax Coach Rose into watching them because I had hyped up Allison so much, and he mentioned it on the bench during the varsity. He was like, man, that girl's good. Right. He's like, she's special. You know, and it's just a really talented girl, really talented athlete, no matter what. And, you know, I do like the pieces they have with Hirsch and Steele and Halbau. I think that they can be a team if they can find that second and third scorer, could make some noise come tournament time.
And Bruce, the one thing I would add there, what happens with the young scorers sometimes, it's hard. I learned this watching my brother grow up and seeing some other scorers is, you know, you want to take good shots. You want to be efficient. You want to do the things. But sometimes if your role is to score, you just have to stay relentless in the attack. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're so hard to guard. Sometimes the only person that can stop you is you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's certain times you go out and you might have an efficient night. Some nights it might require you to take 20, 25 shots. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that – now, the second time Paint Valley and Huntington play, if she only wanted to take 6 or 7 shots, that wouldn't break my heart. But yeah. I'm just saying that, you know, yeah. It's one of those things that's hard for young kids sometimes to grow into, you know what I'm saying, as a scorer in terms of even when – the shot's not falling. If your role's to score, got to score. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that, but again, the Huntington roster as a whole, they're not very deep. So that hurts them in terms of the tempo a little bit. They have to slow it down just a little bit more, but there's some nice players there. That Huntington team's going to be very, very dangerous, into the second half of the year, as they come together as a group.
Anything from Santa for these people?
No, they are who they are. I think it's just going to be a matter of them continuing to develop the chemistry and getting that second and third score.
All righty. Guys, in our final segment, we finish up the Girls League, and we prepare for Santa this week. Next segment going to be brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming. 740-773-7387. Give Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff a call at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. And you can look up all kinds of detailed information on their website as well, NorthForkAnimalClinic.com. Appreciate very much North Fork Animal Clinic's continued support of the podcast. Gentlemen, we move along on the girls' side talking about these teams. Next is the Westfall girls. Shane, what do you want to talk about with Westfall?
Well, Westfall is kind of who we thought they were coming into the year. It's a program with not a lot of numbers, and I know their numbers had shown signs of coming up. They've gone through some injuries and some different things, and their JV numbers are down a little bit, but they are trying to play the four quarters, which I respect, and that's how you get better, is going out and playing. But this varsity starting five, very, very talented. Very talented. They have good size with Farmer and Dudgeon. It makes it tough to pressure them. They can see over the top. Petite's improved with her ball handling. All of them can score from the perimeter. And then, Kitchen, can do the same. Now Mullins has been out a little bit, John. Obviously, she's the X factor. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is when Marissa Mullins is in the lineup, she spaces the floor like no other player in our entire league, because at about 5'11", 6 foot, she can put that left foot down and she can be ready on the catch. And she obviously at that height, she doesn't need much room. So mm-hmm. It really impacts how you can help on a Dudgeon, how you can help on a Farmer and so forth. So this is a team that they've had some nice wins. They beat Madison Plains in overtime the other night. They've beaten McLean. Obviously, probably their Edina loss was the one that maybe surprised people earlier in the year, but I think that's the credit to the Edina that we talked about earlier. So I think this team still, with a new coach, maybe trying to adjust to a system, maybe not as explosive offensively as we thought they would be, but maybe they've shown some signs on the defensive end as they've gotten a little older too. So that's kind of what I'll be looking at into the second half of the year, Bruce, is just to see are they able to regain some of that explosiveness in terms of – because this was a team at the end of last year that they could really, really score the basketball.
All right. John, your thoughts on Westfall?
For their identity, in my notes I had question marks. Because I just wasn't sure, especially with, like you mentioned, with them being so dynamic offensively last year to not really being so this year. If you looked at their scoring numbers from their win over Madison Plains, three of their players accounted for 37 of their 39 points.
But
that's coming without knowing they're without Mullins right now. So I do think that if they can get some consistency going, they'll be a really dangerous team, because they do have so many different athletes that can do it. Petit is playing really well, it appears, with Dudgeon and Farmer. And then once Mullins gets back, that's a dynamic group. So I'm glad you mentioned how well they've been. It appears they're playing on the defensive end. The win over McLean keeps looking better and better.
Sure.
It's a nice group of athletes, and they're going to be a dangerous matchup for anybody on the top half.
The only other thing I have, Bruce, maybe if I were looking at a Santa help,
yeah.
Sometimes what happens is when you have a team like that, they can all score a little bit. Sometimes you need a floor general. I know Henry kind of gives them a nice on-ball defender and so forth. Her offensive skills have improved a little bit, but I don't know that I would label any of them the prototypical point guard. I think they're all good basketball players. So I think a lot of times maybe when they run into a team that can kind of get after them a little bit, the pressure can kind of take them out of what they want to do, if that makes sense. So very, very skilled team. I think they'll figure it out. But that might be the one thing that jumps out at me when I evaluate Westfall girls.
Okay. Let's talk a little Zane Trace girls, Shane.
Well, much improved. Again, we talked about it earlier. They're older. So they're older, they're stronger, they're a little bit more experienced. Now all of a sudden, instead of playing in your, you know, your fifth, sixth, seventh varsity game, you're getting a lot of kids out there that are into their 30th, 35th, 40th, 45th varsity game, and that makes a big difference. You know, and then now you can sprinkle in a couple young kids, and all of a sudden you're a little bit more athletic. So in the past, where you were just completely overwhelmed, now you're only overwhelmed by one or two teams at the top of the standings, if that, because really, other than Uniota, they've competed pretty well across the board. So Lane's a nice player. I really like McCullough. I said it earlier in the year when I scouted them, it wouldn't surprise me if McCullough ended up being one of their top two, three players by the time January rolled around, and I think that's still very fair. I love Allen's effort on the glass and her ability to do that, but this is a team that defensively has made some strides, and you know, when they don't turn it over, they're a lot harder to score against than they were a year ago. So, you know, John, you know, we know how that live ball turnover goes. The live ball turnover gives your defense no chance. So what happens now is the more they cut down the turnover, they get a chance for their athletes to come back and set up and guard you a little bit. And so far, so good. Zane Trace certainly capable of competing. I know they picked up an SVC win. Very, very realistic to think that that won't be their last. They certainly could get a couple more.
John, ZT?
Yeah, Shane, you mentioned the just improvement. You could tell, I mean, the score is lopsided with Uniota, but, you know, that came from Uniota going crazy from three. But I really like their improvement overall. You mentioned Lane, really good shooter. I think they do a lot of nice things. You know, that's just, they'll just keep improving every time out. And I think the juniors, a lot of credit to them, because they have a lot of, you know, juniors that have played a lot, you know, and sticking it out through some really rough times. It's just going to help them mix it in with these younger kids. And credit to them, they playing four quarters of JV. You know, that's going to help them in depth overall. I think that they are in a good position to just keep rebuilding the program. You know, it's a proud program. They've got some really good athletes in there, some good kids. You can tell how much heart they have. They play really hard. And I look forward to seeing them improve here in the future.
Anything else on ZT?
That'll do.
Okay. Piketon girls, Shane.
Piketon, very young. A team that has a nice upperclassman. Richie's a nice player. She's come up through their program. Is serving as a lot of leadership. I think there's a hidden injury in the league, John, that's really maybe confused people a little bit in some of the Piketon scoring. Haley Reisner, she's a kid that's been a kind of a double-double machine in a lot of their games so far. I don't know, without looking at – I don't have their schedule in front of me, without looking exactly to tell you, but there was about a two-week period. I believe it was concussion. Don't quote me on that, but I believe it was concussion. And they were without her for some time there. Remember, they got off to the 3-0 start. They got in the league play. Took some lumps, but again, if you look at a lot of their scoring, score by quarters, even their Adina game the other night, very, very competitive. That's a game they could have won. So this is a team that I still think there's a lot of parity in this league, 2 through 8. Southeastern's trying to separate themselves from that a little bit. But in the head-to-head matchups, I'm just giving you my take that 2 through 8, there's certainly going to be teams that have a much better record. They're going to win a lot more, but I'm just talking on any given night, head-to-head, you're going to see some pretty competitive matchups, and Piketon's certainly in that mix. This is a team that, with some young talent, like I said, mix in the older leader, get healthy here. And, John, you know how it is when you have first-year varsity players. Once they have 10, 11, 12, 13 varsity games under them, now all of a sudden they become different players late in the year when you see them that second time around. I think that's what happens here with this Piketon team.
Yeah, it's – a lot of youth. I think maybe my Santa's help would be to provide everyone in Piketon just a lot of patience with them, because man, that's a really talented freshman sophomore group they got. And they're going to be fun to watch because I think they have some really nice athletes in there. Only one senior on the roster. It should be a fun few years in the village, even if they take some lumps this year.
Well, what happens too, Bruce, is luck of scheduling. I know from Paint Valley's perspective, I hate having to play them both times after the new year. You see what I'm saying? Because I think you're getting the much better version of Piketon here is going, because I know how well coached they are. I highlighted that on last week's show. So you just know as they get healthy, and I know injuries stink, but John, the other thing that happens with injuries is someone played a lot of minutes that, you know, Reisner's normally playing. So when she comes back, you know as well as I do that someone's plugged in there a little bit and they're getting a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. So patience is an outstanding Santa idea. That's well said.
All right. If that's everything on Piketon, we move along to Paint Valley girls. And I think probably we should go away from Shane to begin with and go to John on this one first. Is that okay?
Oh, I know. I don't know. So I would love to hear that. So.
Go ahead, John.
I'll say, just looking at everything, they are not a walkover. You might think, I mean, record-wise, with 2-7, possibly, but with, you know, Smith getting healthy, the Yurgs, McFadden, they've got some nice youth. You know, a lot of different weapons that can hurt you from night to night. You know, they're not a team you can take lightly because they have a lot of pieces that can be dynamic at times. Smith is just a great athlete. Hannah Yerg seems to be shooting the ball really well. Avery McFadden, a really good point guard. You know, that they're a team that's going to be exciting to watch grow over the next couple of years.
Shane, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the weird situations for me is when I try to do this job and coach, you know, it's hard for me to break. I can talk about other teams or whatever, and it's just reality. Where with when I'm in the middle of it, I feel like it's excuses, and I don't want to go there. But at the same time, I want to be fair to covering the Paint Valley kids because sometimes if I don't talk about it, I cheat them. So it's one of those things where this is a team that, you know, you thought you were going to be 8 deep, and I think it's been 3 days this year so far, 3 days, not games, days, that we've been 8 deep. And for the most part, we've been about 6 deep. So and then beyond that, you know, you lose basically your top three JV kids. Two of them have not played in a game yet, and one won't all year. And it's just where you're at. So, but like, you know, John, I think John said it fair. You know, it's a team very, very competitive. You know, we're winning the Westfall game after three quarters. Southeastern, we certainly went toe to toe with them for a portion of that game. The other night, you know, we're winning the first quarter and then just getting unreal foul trouble that we just quite frankly aren't in a position to handle. You know, it's just what it is. So what you do is you continue to grow. There's some nice young talent. You mentioned them. Olivia Smith will go and rebound. Unreal. Double-double. I know she had, I think, 13 points, 16 rebounds in that Westfall game. She will really go get it. Abby Stanforth just about all the way back to 100%. I thought the last game or two, you know, where she missed so much time early in the year, she's just now starting to kind of turn that ankle loose and go. And then you mentioned the Yurigs, you mentioned McFadden. Those are all really nice athletes that just need some time. So I feel like we're getting better. I feel like with the identity, I feel like the identity of the program in grade 6 through 10 will go. We only have one junior in the whole program, and she certainly fits that identity. The seniors, I think, were going to be nice compliments to that. And unfortunately, just some of them haven't been able to stay healthy, which I hate for them in their last go around here. So, we're a team that'll continue to grind, continue to get better. I certainly think, we'll get somebody the second half of the year. It's just right now we're looking for that consistency over the 14-game grind of the SVC.
Shane, what do fans need to understand about the bottom half of the league?
I I think the biggest thing that they have to understand is the depth of athletes. You know, if everything happens perfect, so like a lot of times if you watch a game unfold, if everything happens perfect, most of our teams in our league can match up if they're allowed to like to go out. Like if there was no foul rule, okay, and you could just put your starting five out there and play for 32 minutes, you could probably, you know, just put a competitive product on the court. Obviously, that's not the way basketball works. So what happens is foul trouble, injury, or so forth. So what happens is these games get into – that's why I always try to put the score by quarters on there, is so that you can see the flow of the game. You see how the second half goes. Like, John, you know, in the summer when you go to those and you play in those overtime tournaments, you tip it up and you play like, what, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, you know – anyone can win. But if you start playing the whole camp game where you're playing like the 20-minute halves or whatever, it's tough over the course of 40 minutes to beat a team that's better than you. So I think that's what you see. I think you've seen some of where Westfall just kind of offensively takes the game over in the fourth quarter against us, whereas Westfall jumped out on Southeastern. But then if you look what happened, gosh, I think Southeastern scored like 50 points in the second half against Westfall. Yeah, so you just see a better team kind of take over at that spot, or at least a much better team in terms of the state that Westfall's in right now. So I guess I hope that answers the question. I think, does that make sense? Just the depth and how things have to happen perfectly for a team that doesn't quite have the experience or the depth of size or the depth of ball handling that maybe some of these other schools would have.
All right. Gentlemen, anything, I'm sorry, I just started to cut you off there. Do you want to comment on that, John?
No, I mean, Shane has always pretty much nailed it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's, that pretty much wraps up the look then at both the boys and the girls. If you have any comments, anything you agree with, disagree with, we'd love to hear from you. You may contact these gentlemen by email. If so, using email, Shane's address is admin1@svcsportzone.com. John's email address is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get a hold of Shane. His handle there, svcsportzone. And on John, you can contact him on Twitter at coconutwallpapa. That's not wallpaper. That's wallpapa. All right, and when these gentlemen tweet about SVC stuff, they're doing so at we're using the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. Shane also has two profiles on Facebook, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and svcsportzone.com. You can also leave us a voicemail on the DBK Media Services voicemail number, 740-569-3254. And as always, we ask that you please share our content on Facebook, you can retweet and favorite on Twitter. And if you're listening on iTunes, consider giving us a great review, a good rating. That would be wonderful. So I think that's kind of it. If we move into our final thought segment, I will say, and I think John kind of mentioned it earlier, our next show is going to be posted on January 6th. That'll be when we're back. So we're taking a one-week hiatus so that these guys can, get all charged up for the long run that will be the rest of winter and the spring. Because we pretty much go in right there. Guys, what you looking forward to covering over the break? And maybe any final thoughts first, John?
I might actually be able to do some actual Twitter updates on some stuff during this time. Although we play on the weekend, but excited to get out and watch some different teams. Have some more time with actually being able to practice in the morning instead of in the middle of when these games would be. Really looking forward to getting out, seeing a lot of different teams. And I'll tell you what, it'll be the day before we come back. Mm-hmm. I will have bowling updates.
Wow.
There's a Baker tournament on January, I believe the 4th. Is that Saturday?
Yeah.
Out at Shawnee Lanes, Tysho Block, shout out to him, has told me how exciting the Baker tournament is to watch. So I'm going to go out and we play that night, but I plan on going out and watching a little bit and enjoying some some delicious Julio's pizza. That's a free shout out to them. And, and watching some exciting bowling. I've never been to a high school bowling match. So that's something that I look forward to. And I do think that, if you see me or Shane out at these games, come stop by, say hi. We'll love to talk SVC sports.
Absolutely.
If you want to drop some opinions on us and, just be let's get out and watch as many of these and support these youngsters as much as we can.
Shane, your turn.
Well, I think there's some personal things I look forward to over the break here. I know Bryce Newland coming up on 1,000 points. That's well deserved. What's so amazing about his career too, John, is he's probably going to end up over 800-850 rebounds. And keep in mind, he played with Dylan Swingle, who grabbed a couple rebounds. So, that's a pretty impressive career when you think of a three sport athlete like Bryce, continuing to follow Cam Evans up the chart. Such a special player. That'll be fun. I obviously enjoy basketball. I always say my faith, my family, obviously first and foremost, but then, sports have played a big role in my life. I'm in all seriousness wanting to hopefully spend some incredible time through my faith and my family here on the holiday season. But I hope that I can really rekindle a little bit of passion for basketball in terms of getting out and watching some different matchups and just kind of being more accepting of how the game's called. And just, sometimes it gets so tough to watch, just trying to really enjoy through a positive eye. I think what happens sometimes, John, where in football, we don't have to do it. Just watch. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where in basketball, you can't help but analyze and watch and scout and write this down, do this, do that. And baseball, the same way. So I think a lot of times when you just get step back, I hope to get out and watch two or three games that I don't really have any scouting interests in, where I'm just going to watch. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun for me. So guys, I would say to you, thank you for all you do. Merry Christmas. Have an incredible week with your families. To all of our SVC listeners out there, we tried to go a little longer tonight to give you 2 weeks of SVC sports talk in one, maybe, so you have a little bit more to listen to. And we'll come on back in 2020, and we'll keep on keeping on and pushing our way towards 300 somewhere down the line here, Bruce. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is. Only 30 away from 300. We probably should have a party in the next – I guess that would be from now until about next year this time, 30 more right. episodes. So right. Amazing, 300.
Well, John, I appreciate you, buddy. Make sure you tell the family Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll get together over the break here and watch a little basketball together. So on that note, we'll get on out of here. So we'll make sure you're checking svcsportzone.com over the break. We hope to get our stats up and running here as we make the turn into 2020 and highlight the great kids and the great programs in the SVC. So we'll always do our best to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.